Flyers Daily with Jason Martinez.
All right, it is a brand new Flyers Daily, Friday, April 4th, 2025, Flyers Daily. As usual, presented by Ticketmaster, make more memories live. A couple of things real quick. We got two guests in this episode. We're going to have Flyers defenseman Jamie Drysdale and Flyers analyst on the television, Brian Boucher, also from the NHL on TNT. Of course, former NHL netminder. We'd love having Bouch on. Really good conversations with both. I didn't realize in yesterday's episode, by the way, that it was for Thursday. I thought that was for Wednesday. So Nick Seeler will be featured on one of our episodes next week. We have Mondays with Meltzer. Probably have Seals coming up on Tuesday. So that's my bad. I get a little scramble-brained when it comes to what day of the week it is this time of year and with everything going on. So a couple of things to clean up real quick, too, as well. I've seen a bunch of comments in the YouTube feed, and I love that everybody comments. Keep them coming. That they want... Maybe it's the same guy or a couple different people, and I've gotten an email or two about it as well, is they want a tour of the new studio space that I'm in. So I'll do that. I'll record a home studio tour. I'm basically living down here right now because my sleeping hours are all over the place with falling asleep during the day quite a bit and having to take naps when you don't even know what's coming. But this is the space I'll show to you. We revamped it a little bit, and we'll make a video about it, and I'll put it out. So to that guy, it's coming. Due time. I'll do that this weekend. Also, the game this weekend, tomorrow night in Montreal, Flyers are back on the ice, and they're not back on again until Wednesday. This is really bizarre. But, you know, the NHL schedule defies my logic sometimes, and back-to-backs and a team resting when another team's on a back to whatever it is. It is. Because it's a 32-team league, and I guess it's difficult with buildings and all that to get it right. But nonetheless, Flyers will be back in action tomorrow. We'll have Bill on Monday. We'll react to that and the week that was in Flyers land. But let's get to our first guest. I think he's really made some big steps this season. You heard from Brad Shaw on yesterday's episode. We talked about Jamie Drysdale and his development. Still, according to Brad Shaw, got a long way to go. And I agree. There's next levels that Jamie Drysdale is going to get to, can get to. We'll see how that plays out. But I think he's made some really big jumps this year. And that is great to see, considering what the Flyers gave up in that trade with Cutter Gauthier in Anaheim, and considering how important that position is with a still pretty young defender in Jamie Drysdale. So let's get to him right now. He joins us on Flyers Daily. It is Flyers defenseman Jamie Drysdale. Brand new episode of Flyers Daily, as the Flyers won't be back in action until Saturday night against Montreal. A little break in the schedule. Weird time for a break, but joining us is Flyers defenseman Jamie Drysdale. Jamie, how are you? Join the break a little bit?
Yeah, it is definitely a little interesting considering we just came off of 15 games in 28 days. So to have one through a 9-day period is definitely, you know, different, especially at this time of year, when everything kind of ramps up, and it has. So yeah, we're just trying to, you know, make the most of it, get our rest in, get some good practices in, and be ready to go.
How important is it for you guys, and you in particular, to finish the year on as good of a note as you can with your individual play and the progress that you've made this year?
Yeah, 100%. I think definitely want to end on a good note, kind of put my best foot forward, and yeah, obviously going into the summer, going into next year, been a pretty wild year for me, across the board. So, yeah, I think, games come a long way, from where it started, and, confident with it. So, yeah, looking to continue on and continue to get better.
I remember back, this feels like an eternity ago at this point, a lifetime ago, but back in training camp and talking to you, and you told me, you know, you put on 18 pounds of muscle. How was it carrying the muscle through the season?
So yeah, I think, full transparency, I think I put on a little too much.
You feel like it bogged you down a little bit?
I think, I felt a little bit slower, just a little bit. I don't know. I'd never been that heavy. The heaviest I ever was going into a year was probably 185, 186. And then, yeah, it was pretty much 200 pounds coming in this year. So, yeah. That's a pretty big jump. So yeah, I think a lot of it just has to do with learning your body and learning where you're most comfortable weight wise and strength wise and kind of having a good idea of where you're, going in. So, yeah, make some adjustments, go from there, but, So I kind of have an idea of what I have to do, and, yeah, I feel good with where I'm at now. So, yeah.
I think it's fascinating. Like professional athletes are like, if I weigh 194, it's too much, but 193 is my sweet spot. Like it's like that precise sometimes. Yeah. Did you taper back some of the weight through the season?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, naturally you're going to lose some weight during the year. Just naturally how it goes through training camp, through that, just the schedule, being on the road all the time. So yeah, naturally it happens, but yeah, tapered it back for sure.
Let me ask you about, you know, you come in last year, mid-season trade, and it's frenzy, it's chaotic. You're adjusting to East Coast living and all that goes with it and everything. And, you know, getting just established off the ice and your life in order. And then you come into this year, you got a full summer. And working with Bradshaw, he's a guy that is incredibly detailed and can really get his fingers in there. What's it been like working with Shawzy to get your game to go to the next levels?
It's been unreal, to be honest. Yeah. I think I credit a lot of, you know, kind of the steps that I've taken to him. Like you said, just detailed stuff that, you know, I've been playing hockey for like what I would consider a long time.
My whole life, pretty much.
So, you know, the amount of things that he's, little things that seem simple or whatever that he's told me that I'd never heard before in my life is pretty cool. And just little details that just make you a better player, make you just a little bit sharper, you know, little things to keep in the back of your head. So very detailed, you know, really good approach to it, calm. Definitely someone that I've learned a lot from.
It's like as simple as like, hey, when you have an ongoing, you know, guy off the rush, I want you to a 46 degree angle to angle him, not 52 degree. You know, but that little bit makes a big difference.
Yeah, no, it's anything as opposed to, hey, your stick's like, you could have your stick straight out and whether the blade's open or closed can affect the pass, what the shooter's going to think, just anything like little things like that, that people wouldn't give two thoughts on. So he's been great.
One of the things that you talked about in the preseason as well was, you know, one of the things for you was the ability to stay availability. Mm-hmm. You were dinged up a little earlier this season, but you've been on a long run now where you've been, you know, you've been in the lineup and that hasn't been an issue for you. How much does that ease your brain that you can do that?
100%. I mean, it sucked being out of the lineup, especially as consistently as I have. Start of the year, unfortunate, wouldn't like.
You're like, you're kidding me, right? We're going to do this again, right?
So that sucked for sure. Body feels great.
That's awesome.
So it's been nice to have this stretch. Little refreshing, and I feel like in this stretch I think my game's come a long way. Learn things about it, just whatnot. I feel like it's been a pretty crazy start to my career, but I think we're in a good spot and I'm looking to grow for sure.
They're all part of the progression of it, of your career too, because I don't think you made a step this year, Jamie. I think you made multiple steps. Mm-hmm. And you could kind of see them clicking off as you were going through the season. I felt in the beginning that maybe you could see you thinking at times out there. Now I see an instinctual player. To play on instinct and not be thinking puts you ahead of the curve on how you're attacking the game, doesn't it?
100%. I think the game's so fast that when you're thinking, you're probably
dead.
Already done.
I think you die.
you're probably already done. And I think that a lot of that came into my game throughout the year, to be honest with you. And I think that a lot of it just comes from building confidence in your game. If you're not confident, if you're overthinking, I think a lot of it's making the plays for kind of yourself, what you think, what you see, making your own reads, obviously within a system, rather than, what do I think that he wants me to make? What play do I think that, is this going to happen? But I think you hit it right on the nail. When you're playing with confidence and you're just playing, not overthinking, it's definitely beneficial.
Yeah, playing on instinct is a huge thing. And I think you think out there, you just don't have the time to do it. Let me ask you specifically about a goal. Yep. It's the last goal you scored, as a matter of fact. Turned out to be the game winner in the 2-1 win over Nashville. And I look at that play, and I watched it over and over again. I always like to see the reason why a goal was scored.
Yeah.
And as Mishkov enters the middle of the ice, it draws everybody from Nashville. He's like this. He's got a tractor beam.
Yeah.
And they all start sucking into him because he's attacking in the middle of the ice. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching you on the point, and you're like, oh, they're all going to do it. I'll come down here. You go right to the side of the net. He kind of whiffs on the shot, but you're right there. I'll clean it up. No problem. Take me through that read.
Yeah. I just think just overall, I've tried to get more comfortable playing low in the ozone. I think that that's one thing where I think I've previously been retreating, which is not kind of what I want to be, what I need to be in order to be successful. Obviously kind of creeped in, Meets drew everyone to him. Everyone thought he was shooting, including myself, and then kind of whiffed on it. And yeah, I think just right place, right time.
That's not by accident though. That's a read.
Realizing that and, just putting yourself in a position, you see that we have full control, ready to make a play, just staying available. But, obviously it was a fortunate bounce, but, just kind of finding a sweet spot, soft spot, getting lost. And it just ended up coming right on my tape.
Yeah. I mean, you could stay back there on the point and not have to be accounted for, or you could go and go to that good, I call good ice, go to good ice. Good ice. Good things will happen.
Yeah. It's a pain in the butt to, especially when you're defending the opposing team, when their D get rolling, coming through, it's an extra guy to cover, an extra guy to worry about. You're like, what the hell is this guy doing back door?
Yeah. So now I got this to deal with too. Yeah, the goalie sees you too.
Things like that. So, definitely trying to work more of that in my game.
Misha loves to attack the middle of the ice as a defender. Mm-hmm. When a guy makes that hard curl off the half wall to the middle of the ice, and all of a sudden it opens up all the options to him, especially a guy like him, his heads up. He's surveying everything. What does that do to you as a defender? It's like, oh my God, I got to pick my poison here, don't I?
Yeah, I think it's really tough because Meech loves to, he gets the puck and he slows the game down. He'll stop up as the defender playing with him. You love it because you're like, okay, there's a good chance I'm going to get this puck as the late man in the rush. As the defender against him, you're like, oh shit, who's going to go to him?
Mm-hmm.
If I step up, he's probably going to lay it right by me into someone of speed. Kind of have to play in an in-between, take your forwards to the net because he can make those little slip plays and vice versa. He'll outweight, and then hit a late man, or he'll just skate in himself. So I think he's found a lot of options that he can make off a simple play, and he's extremely effective in doing so.
Does he remind you of Kucherov at all? The guy who wants to slow you down, make you feel like you're safe, and then quick twitch kill you.
The slowdown, the ability to find options and late options, and kind of the ability of like only a certain amount of people have it where it's like, okay, when you stop up and you have your head up, it's like, okay, I have to respect it.
Yeah.
You're not going at them right away because odds are it's going to come straight through your feet and right on someone's tape. So there's definitely players in the league like that. And, he's been real special as of late, especially.
It's playing hockey like a 2000 ELO chess player, like a grandmaster. You know what I mean? It's like these guys, they see things and they're able to predict where guys, and then they can deliver it. They can deliver the puck on this insane cross ice pass through three guys, sticks and everything. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. What a weapon that is. And Jamie, it's been great watching your progress this year. I think is a big, big storyline. Mm-hmm. And it's been all positive, man. I'm so happy for you and can't wait to see where you go after this offseason and taking it forward. Thanks for doing this as always. And I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, of course. Got you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks to Jamie Drysdale. He's a chill, kind of laid back guy. But as Brad Shaw said in yesterday's episode, that Jamie Drysdale maybe holds himself too accountable at times because hockey's a game of mistakes. There's going to be mistakes. Got to learn to, I guess, as you get older, to compartmentalize those mistakes, not let them affect you moving forward in your performance. It's a big thing with goaltenders. You let a goal in, you got to move on quick. Because if you linger on the goal you just let in, whether good goal, bad goal, whatever it is, however you played the situation, who, what, whatever, you got to move on or it's going to build up on you and you're going to give up another one. And then you're going to have two you're worried about. So you got to move on quick. Got to mentally reset. I know a guy that mentally reset as good as anyone. He holds a record in the NHL that I don't think will ever be broken. Five straight games with a shutout. Five straight games. At any level, that's ridiculous. At the NHL, it's even more ridiculous. Playing for the, I think at the time, Phoenix Coyotes, even more ridiculous. I think they had like 18 or 22 wins that season. Five of them came in a row because our next guest wouldn't give up a goal. Pretty damn impressive. He is a great communicator. You hear him on the Flyers broadcast on television with Jim Jackson on NBC Sports Philadelphia. You hear him on and see him on NHL on TNT. Does a great job. Former NHL netminder Brian Boucher joins us on Flyers Daily. Boosh, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing? How are you holding up?
I'm holding up. Grinding it out, shift by shift. You know, we as goalies, Boosh, we didn't take shifts. So, like, you want to use, like, the hockey player, like, jump over the boards for earn your next shift? Now, we didn't ever jump over the boards unless we had to come in for a pull goalie or something, or we'd jump over the boards for a delayed penalty call, bombing our way over the boards. You used to bomb your way over the boards when you're sprinting to the bench?
I'd get off the ice as quickly as possible. I didn't want that goal that goes in the net to count against me. So when you get on that bench, you know it's an empty netter.
You're safe. Yeah. And one of your teammates, some pigeon, backs it up into his own net.
Yeah.
You don't need a dash for that. Let me ask you, at this point in the season, you grind it out, you cover the Flyers, you do their games, you do the NHL on TNT, and you got the playoffs are looming. And I know, even though the Flyers aren't going to the playoffs, it's a really big grind for you. A lot of travel in the playoffs. How you holding up at this point in the season?
I'm good, man. It's the month of March was probably the hardest month because we do two games a week with TNT, Sundays and Wednesday. So with the Flyers schedule, that was pretty heavy in March. It was a busy month, but now we're on the backside of it. April looks good. And then playoffs start. And truthfully, in playoffs, first two rounds, we split with ESPN. So we'll go 3 days on, 3 days off. And then ESPN takes the other 3 days. So it actually ends up being not bad until the conference final. That's when we stay on one series. And then we got the final this year. So I feel like good days are ahead. Warm weather, good hockey. I know for Flyers, not the case, but it's going to be good. Yeah. So it's all good.
Do you let your prognostication of who you think is going to get to the finals? Do you let the fact that the travel that you have to go through between two cities, maybe part of the, I mean, like last year you didn't have it, but you know, Florida and Edmonton, you couldn't be almost farther apart. You know, you're going to end up with like a Winnipeg, Florida situation this year.
Don't ever say the name Winnipeg to me. Okay. Nothing. I don't wish bad on any of the players or the staff there or whatever, but you know, I wouldn't be upset if somebody upset Winnipeg. I'm sure it's a great place. I'm sure there's a lot of great people there, but they're, you know, I'm pulling for some better cities. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. You know, Boosh, before we get to the Flyers specifically, I was talking about this on yesterday's episode. You know, the fact that it looks like the Rangers aren't going to make the playoffs, Boston's not going to make the playoffs, the Flyers are not going to be a playoff team, Pittsburgh's not, Chicago is not, Detroit is not. These are really important NHL markets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cap's going to go back up, and these markets, I think, are going to be in an advantageous situation with the really pretty steep escalation of the cap. But to not have those major markets, the NHL wants those markets in because they're good hockey markets. And the league's better when those teams are in the mix. Are you surprised at it to see that many of the, you know, the marquee franchises not in the mix?
Yeah, it's you know, for years, it's like, I know the Canadian, for Canadian TV, they were, you know, they were upset the Canadian teams weren't in it, right? It kind of hurt their ratings and whatnot. And I think for us in the East, as you mentioned, all those big markets, I mean, New York still has a chance to get in.
Yeah.
But all the other ones you mentioned are pretty much, they're dead in the water. So yeah, it is what it is, right? I mean, they wanted parity around the NHL.
They got it.
They got it. That means you're going to have some markets that are in the mix that probably aren't your biggest TV markets, but I think there's other areas of the game where the business is growing, and I think that's why the cap is going up. And as we've seen, oftentimes these things can turn quickly. Teams can look at the Capitals. I don't think anybody ever expected them to be as good as they are this year as quickly as they've done it. So there's a template there for turning your franchise around, and who knows? I can't imagine the Rangers go into a hard rebuild if they don't make the playoffs. Like, I can't imagine it when they were just getting out of it. So, you know, if Chris Drury is looking to, you know, save his job, I'm sure he's going to have to get this ship turned around pretty quickly so that they are relevant once again.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, you look at the Capitals, and I look at them the way they're built too, and you look at, they make 7 signings over the summer. They've gone 7 for 7. They've hit on all of them for this year at least. And none of them are these huge marquee names. You know, they didn't sign a Connor McDavid, and their team looks like they do damage in the playoffs because they've got great depth. I didn't think they were a playoff team.
Yeah, and now they just added Ryan Leonard, their first round pick from Michkov, who went right after Michkov. Terrific college career, 2 years at BC. A hard-nosed power forward, you know, that's another guy that you add into the mix. And I know he's going to be pretty green, but he's got some skill. He can play.
He's an emotional player too.
Yeah, and he's just one of those guys. It's another player that you plug in at an important time of year, and you see how he does. Could be a help to their team. I mean, the only question I have about the Caps is, like, you know, they're all, you know, this Ovechkin thing is, you know, it's getting close, and that's, I'm here in Carolina tonight. We got Washington, Carolina as he chases the record. You know, what happens if he breaks the record? Is there like a decompression to the group? Yeah. Like, I mean, they're working so hard to get this. And I lived it and on a different scale, when we had my shutout streak going in Phoenix, everybody was so into it. And so, like, they wanted to do everything to keep the puck out of the net for me so that we could get this record. And then after it happened, it was like, there was a major, like, sad
hair,
like,
out of the balloon.
Yeah. And I wonder if the Caps they're riding this wave where it's, you know, Ovi's chase is so important. What happens after that? And can they find a way to pick themselves up, start a playoffs? That'll be the big question mark for me.
Great point.
I'm not saying they can't do it, but I'm just saying that I'm a little nervous for them. If they fall back, let's say they fall behind in the series, down 3-1 or down 2-0. Where's the adversity that they face this year? I think they've lost 3 in a row only once. It just happened this year. I think they just lost 3 in a row. They broke it last night with the win against Boston. But, you know, where's the adversity that they face this year? You hate that adversity to hit in the playoffs for the first time.
Yeah, at that time of year. Yeah, no doubt. And it's obviously an enormous storyline. This is not a small one. This is one of the records that we thought would never be touched. So it's become a huge thing. And Ovechkin certainly lends into it, and he's a showman. Speaking of kind of letting the air out of the balloon, you know, we get the firing of John Tortorella last week, Boosh, and team goes on and wins 3 straight games. You've been a part of these teams where a coach has been let go in a season, and it just changes the dynamic. You know, the team's playing out the string already, so you can play loose hockey. And then you have the coaching change, and there's just a huge dynamic shift. Is that what you kind of see kind of being responsible for, you know, the playing free of mind and consequence in a way?
I think that's part of it. I think, let's face it, Torts was a big personality, right? He was a big voice in that room, a lot bigger voice than a lot of those guys in there, because a lot of the, you know, aside from, say, you know, Couturier, Konechny, Sanheim, you know, those are probably the big, you know, Lawton, it's now gone. Like, you know, those are the guys that have been around a long time that probably feel like they can walk around. They've been into every building several times. Like, they know the league. They know what it's all about. Aside from that, it's a very young group of guys that are going through this league for the first times in their career. So Torts is the guy that they kind of, like, he's the guy. It's like when you have a big player on your team, like a big personality. Like, I think of guys that I played with that were big personality. Chris Pronger was a guy that comes to mind. Like, you know, you kind of look to him, like, in times of, like, whoa, what do we do here? And Prongs is the guy that, you know, was, you know, this is how we do it. This is what I'm, you know, he was the lightning rod, and that was Torts. And now I think it's just a different feel. Like, now these guys are kind of like, whew, that personality is gone. They can kind of just, they don't feel like the need to be on, maybe they were on edge, or maybe they were, you know, just, you know, being anxious. I don't know what it was, but they can just breathe a little bit. And I think that's part of what we're seeing right now. But then the other part of it, let's face it. I mean, this time of year it's garbage time. Like,
yeah,
you see it all the time. Teams, when the heat's off, the pressure's off, they just relax and play and they start to get results. Is this really what the Flyers are, or is it just a case of another team just starting to click in garbage time? And I think that's the thing. You got to, and I'm sure Danny knows this, and Jonesy knows this. This is not what is what you think it is in January, February.
You can't take much from this evaluation right now.
Exactly. That's my preseason. So they know this. They know this. Yeah. You know, but it's good to see guys doing what they're doing and getting success. From a personal standpoint, as an ex-player, like for Michkov, he's chasing the caller. It seems like the guys are on board with trying to, you know, help him get there. Yeah. Although Hudson had 3 assists last night, amazingly. But, you know, they're trying their very best. It's something to rally around, which is great for the players because you want to do well and gain confidence. But from an organization standpoint, is it really the best thing to be winning games right now when you could be falling out of a top 5 pick? Who knows?
Yeah, funny thing is, you know, you got Michkov 7, and a lot of Flyers fans who bemoan them winning the games right now are the ones that say, you got to pick at the top of the draft. You're just going to end up in mediocrity. But then they, you know, they go crazy about, I can't believe they passed on Zeev Bleem at 12th. He's going to be a Norris guy. He was picked 12th.
So nobody knows the draft is a crapshoot, but totally, in talking to, you know, some people, it sounds like the top 6 is really strong.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, I think if you can get in the top 6, you kind of are guaranteeing yourself a very impactful player. After that, it seems to be a bit of a drop-off. It's not to say that those players can't turn into impact players and franchise players. It's just that right now, from the people that I've talked to, it sounds like top 6 is where you want to be. So
yeah, that's how you get there. There's always those cutoff lines, yeah.
Yeah, maybe you got to win. If you win some games and you get out of the top 6, then you got to win the lottery and move up. And yep. But I think if, say, you finish 3rd from last and you end up as 3, the worst you can do is 5. The furthest you can fall is 2 picks. So they're inside the top 6. So, you know.
All right, Bush, let's talk goaltending, because if the team wants to move forward next year, they've got to go into the season with a better situation than they went through this year. First of all, the 3 goalie thing has befuddled me all year. Yeah. Like you, I'm not a fan of it. It doesn't serve a whole lot of good having a guy standing around at practice, mm-hmm. you know, on the side. The other guys need to get their work. They feel weird because there's a dude standing there twiddling his thumbs on the ice. You know, it's just an uncomfortable situation. And if you're going to move things forward, you can't be undone by goaltending again. Mm-hmm. So they can't go in the same situation. How do you see this playing out? Does Danny got to go out and find kind of a veteran that you can get on a 2-3 year deal that can at least come in and give you, you know, 50 games, 45 games of league average goaltending that you can rely on?
Yeah. Yeah. They do. I mean, I think Sam is a 1B, and that's what he's proven to be so far. I like him, and I think he's a good goalie. I don't know why it's tailed off recently. I can't explain it. It is what it is. So, yeah, I mean, you can't bank that he can be a 60-game guy or 55-game guy. I don't think he's that, but I think he can give you 35.
Maybe he can get to that point, but he's not there now.
Maybe, yeah. But he's not there now. I think he can give you 35 to 40, and he needs a good partner that can help win games as well. Great. But the big question for me, Jason, is, you know, what happens in this offseason? Like, what is, like Danny's talking about phase 2 of the rebuild. You know, what is phase 2 of the rebuild? It's been kind of vague, and I understand why it's vague. He's not going to let everybody know what his game plan is. My question is, does phase 2 look similar to what Paul Holmgren did in 2007 after they finished dead last in the league, right? They picked up, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they picked up Teeminen, Hartnell, Lupul,
yep,
Upshaw, Jason Smith. Danny Briere signed, Marty Biron came here, and they went from last to conference finals, I believe, against the Capitals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does it look like that? Is that what we're looking at for phase 2? If so, then absolutely they must go get another goaltender immediately in the offseason to help with that, because now you get a partner with Sam. I think you can climb very quickly. Or does phase 2, and it's an ambitious one, where it doesn't look like that, because let's face it, I mean, you could have a wish list of doing all of those things, but you need a partner in a trade or whatever you're doing to, or signings that people want to reciprocate and help you out. And if you can't make those deals, and maybe that's the, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
Yeah.
If you can't get that done, and it looks like 50% of what 2007 looked like, or 25% of what 2007 looked like, then maybe next year's not the year to go and get that goaltender to help. You know what I'm saying?
Do you run back to the same goaltending you did this year?
Well, I mean, if you can't accomplish what you were looking to accomplish to help your team for next season, then why? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It doesn't do you any good. Maybe there is one more year of hurt before you can accomplish what you are. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Like,
no, it
all depends on
I don't think you fix Rome this offseason. I don't.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe you can. If it looks like 2007,
yeah,
where it's a complete revamp, kind of like what Washington did on the fly, I guess. I'm not saying they have to be all older guys. It can be 20-somethings that get your team to another level. If that's the case, yes, you need to improve your goaltending if the goal is to get into the playoffs. I mean, Fedotov has played some good games, but overall, I don't know that it's what you need as a 1-2 punch, and certainly not three. You're right. It's a hole. I mean, there's no denying the save percentage in the league. It's the worst in the NHL. And it, you know, if you're looking to get to the next step, I don't know that you can do it with the current tandem as is. I'm a big fan of Sam though. And I think he's a guy that with the right partner that can help win games, take the load off. I think he can be a good compliment.
Yeah. In that situation, I feel comfortable if he's got a guy there, and I'm looking for Connor Hellebuck to give me 60 games of, you know, 925 save percentage.
Yeah.
I'm asking for league 904 league average. You know what I mean? I'm not shooting for the sun and the stars.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about this though, Bush, because you know, there's some players that have been here for a lot of losing. Do you get to the point as a player too, where you risk the situation where you go through another year, you're undone by goaltending and results and, you know, going into the season, knowing that that's, again, a huge question mark, really, you know, put some players at risk of developing too much losing scar tissue, because, you know, you only get one career. You got one career. That's it. You know,
I don't know.
It's a lifetime thing. It ain't that for a player.
No, I know. I don't know about that. I think, you know, guys like Sanheim, Konechny, Coots, Hathaway, they're Sealer. Like, I think these are quality guys. Even if there was losing going on another year for whatever reason, I don't know that it would change the trajectory or how they lead and hurt younger players. Because if it does turn around, I think those guys are like guys like Forster,
Cates,
these are quality people, good players. They'll find a way to snap out of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I don't think it would hurt their careers too much. Losing stinks and it stings and it's no fun as a player, but these guys will hang in there. I'm not worried about that. I think more the big question that I have is just, you know, how ambitious is Danny with phase two? And I get why it's not like clear cut what it's going to be, because I'm sure he's got plans, and you hope, you know, he's probably hoping it works out for the best and he gets everything that's on his wish list. We'll see. I mean, that's the tough part. I think that's I don't know how Homer was able to do it back in 2007, but when he did it, think about what it did for the next 5-6 years. It put the team in a place where they could really compete. You know, in 2010, we went to the Stanley Cup final, and there could have been a couple more years if they, you know,
if Pronger didn't get hurt.
Yeah. You know, so it was great job by Homer. You'd have to interview him to see how ambitious he was and how fortunate he got in making those trades and signings. Like how were you able to pull that off? And is that something that Danny's looking to do? I wonder. It'll be an interesting offseason, a fun offseason to watch, keep an eye on.
Yeah, there's a lot of storylines for the offseason. I think Homer was like a Jedi. Like he's so soft-spoken, such a respected hockey guy that Yeah, he just found a way to find players that fit and would put it all together. I mean, you look at the signings, you know, Hartnell was a nice player in Nashville, so was Thiemannin. Mm-hmm. What they became here, though, I mean, was like a whole different level. It just fit like beautifully. That's like the painter, you know, painting a beautiful picture of building a roster, you know. Yeah. You always want the big shiny guys, but sometimes that's not what's needed.
Yeah.
I know Jonesy's talked about this quite a bit about, you know, this offseason, like the free agent pool this offseason is very underwhelming. You know, just because you have some money doesn't mean you need to go out there and, you know, pay that the best center available. I mean, John Tavares is going to be that guy. He's going to be 35, you know.
Right. Marner's probably your biggest want. I mean, for teams.
Yeah, and he's a winger.
If he gets to UFA.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to sign there, apparently. There's some conversation about
Is that the talk? Yeah.
At $14.5 million. So, but, I mean, I'm not going to just spend my money because I'm not going to go for the best available guy. I got to strategically plot out getting the best guy for that my team and what I want to do.
Well, right. And now McDavid, it has 1 year remaining next year. Is that it?
He and Eichel do. I think Eichel's staying Vegas. I think that's
okay. So I mean, why would you go crazy this year in the offseason?
Take yourself out of that.
It is a wait and see. What if, you know, what if McDavid ends up being available?
Yeah. And you spent your money on some aging guy and now you're out of that conversation.
So
that's your building opening up.
Yeah. So maybe phase two looks like more of, instead of signing guys, you know, maybe you're signing plug and place guys, you know, down your lineup. But maybe it's about trading for players that are ready to pop, you know, kind of like when you got Hartnell and Thiemannin, right? That was, were those signings or trades?
They were trades.
Yeah. So trades. I mean, so, you know, that's what I mean. Like, what does phase two look like? How ambitious are they? You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not privy to their conversations. I'm a fan just like everybody else. And a wait and see approach, and I'm excited for the offseason to see what it brings, you know, and what can be accomplished.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, you know, you don't want to take yourself out of that, McDavid. If he becomes available, you got a lot to offer a guy coming to the East Coast, be a massive superstar. I mean, he's a superstar now because he's so good, but he's in Siberia. He's doing all this in Siberia, and people on the East Coast don't see it. The travel on the East Coast, you could offer him the sun and the stars. And get him here on the Northeast Corridor. You don't get yourself out of that mix. The big decision, probably the first decision, Bush, will be the coach. Who the next coach of this team will be. Tok's name has been mentioned, and you know, there's mixed reviews on that from fans. They say, oh, can't hire a former Flyer. I think it's a lazy narrative. I mean, you look at so many guys they've hired that have no Flyers connections. And I don't care if the guy was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. You hire the right guy. I don't care. I don't care who he played for.
Yeah.
But who is the right guy? We don't even know who the pool of available guys is going to be right now.
No, we don't. Yeah, and that's the problem, right? Well, it's not the problem. That's it. You have to wait and see how the playoffs shake out. Who
gets bounced in the first round and somebody gets fired all of a sudden?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We don't know. And, you know, the idea that, you know, what we can't, I don't know. I don't understand why fans get worked up over ex-Flyer thing, you know, guys. And it's, to me, like, if you were a Flyer before, you understand what the city is and what it means to be a Flyer. What's wrong with that? I don't understand.
Why is that a bad thing?
I don't understand why it's a bad thing. And Rick Tocchet was one of the greatest Flyers ever. Like, I mean, the way that he played, he epitomized what, you know, this city is all about and what it means to be a Flyer. The one of great team guys, and it's whatever. I don't know. I don't know if they, you know, it's, I saw a latest report that Vancouver wants to re-sign him and extend him. So who knows? But yeah, again, it's kind of like what is phase two? How much do you get accomplished in phase two? And if your team is ready to pop and go, then maybe you got to find a coach that aligns with those values. And it's not about, I know, okay, I'm going to throw the name out there. Say, like, if your team is ready to pop and go, you know, is a guy like David Carl coming out of college, do you want to get a college guy to come and coach when he may not be ready for, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I know he's been successful at the other levels, but that's all I'm saying. And
is he a development coach, but not the, when you're ready right, to pop right. it up?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you want a guy like that is way more established. That's, you know, won in the playoffs, maybe a Stanley Cup champion and understands how to, you know, manage those types of pro personalities. That's all I'm saying. I think it's all determined. And I asked Danny that question when we had the day that they had the press conference about Torts. I asked Danny that question, you know, is it predicated on how phase two goes as to what type of coach? And I think he said, yeah, he's like, it's going to, you know, we'll look at all that to see where we're at, what the best fit will be.
Yeah, I think it's a critical decision, obviously. And we'll see. Is Mike Sullivan let go in Pittsburgh? For example,
right. Yeah,
is he a guy? Is he too much like Torts? You know, this old notion, you got the hard ass coach. Then you got to go from the screamer to the hugger in sports. You go from Larry yeah. Bella to Charlie Manuel. One guy will beat your ass. The other guy will pat you on it. You know,
yeah.
I don't buy into that, but just get a good coach. And
how about, you know, you got to see how it shakes out in the playoffs, who gets fired, get the list, see who's on there. Then you can talk about it. Until then, it's just hypotheticals of who could be, who could not be available.
No doubt about it. Bush, I've taken a lot of your time already. Last question for you. Who is in the Stanley Cup final this year? It's going to be, I mean, these battles and the way the playoff seeding happens, you can't look at a first round exit the way we used to. Mm-hmm. It's not one versus eight. You lose in the first round because you're in the Atlantic Division. You might be losing to the Cup champs. You can't go, well, we tapped out in the first round.
Yeah.
And these are crazy matchups.
Okay. In the East, does Florida have the gas in the tank after two consecutive finals to get there?
Yeah, to go to three finals in a row, that's tough.
Could Chuck, you know, I mean, it's hard to bet against what they've done, so you got to like them.
You think Tampa's got a run in them? One more?
Yeah, I mean, this is, seems like that window's closing, right?
Yeah.
They keep going all in. Like, they keep, you know, they're not. So this is a big year for Tampa. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess I would say Florida just because of the experience that they have. I wonder if they can do it 3 years in a row. I don't know if Toronto is deep enough. Tampa, I don't know. You know, I don't – New Jersey, no, for sure. I don't think they've got it because of the injury to Jack Hughes. That's a huge loss in Hamilton. And Siegenthaler is out for the first round as well. So those are big losses for them. Carolina, I mean, I think they're a good regular season team where they – but when they get to that final eight and they finally meet their match, I don't think they have another gear. Like, they play hard and fast and quick all year, but then they don't have another level. So, no, I don't like that. Capitals, I think they could run out of gas, you know. Yeah. And then Ottawa is going to make the playoffs, but they're going to have a first-round matchup either against Florida or Toronto, probably, it looks like. And that's going to be a war against either of those teams. So yeah. – And then eight, Montreal, no chance. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to go Florida in the East. I know it was a long way to talk about Florida in the East. And then in the West,
you got a lot of good picks. You can go Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg.
Well, that's going to be a first-round matchup. Colorado, Dallas is going to be your first-round matchup. So one of those is gone. I'm going to take Colorado there. And I think Vegas on the other side of it, and I'll take Vegas just because I want to go to Vegas in the final.
That's not a bad place to spend it. Colorado's not bad either. It's that, not Winnipeg. Well, I think Los Angeles.
Colorado's great. I was there for the final there with when it was Tampa, Colorado. Great weather in June, but I'm gonna say Vegas.
I think the Kings can get a little upset over Edmonton.
I do. I think this is the year because Byfield's taken another uh-huh. step and got that, you know, he's in the middle. I think they're a different team. And I think this year, if they can stay out of the box in Edmonton hasn't been the same either. Like, they're not, Drysdale's had a great year. McDavid hasn't been all that good there this year. They're not deep. No, I don't think Edmonton, they're not the same group. I think LA can upset them in the first round. Is it even an upset? Who would get home ice there? I haven't looked at
the Kings right now would have the home Kings. Ice.
Yeah. Stay out of the box. And they've been unreal at home, the Kings. Yeah. I think they lost three games in regulation all year. So I'll take the Kings over Edmonton first round.
Yeah, 28-4-4 at their home, what is it, the crypto.com arena or whatever it is. They've been unbelievable. And that's a team, Boosh, that didn't do no teardown and rebuild. They just recoiled it as well. I mean, Kopitar still playing like he's playing too. And this guy's ageless, right?
Yeah, and Byfield just continued to get better and better and better, right?
Doughty's still giving you real quality.
Yeah, and he should be like lit with the injury might serve as a benefit in the long run. He didn't put all those miles on to start the year, so he's going to be fresh in the playoffs. And Kemper's won before. Remember that? Kemper's won before. I know he's not a big name, but he's been there, done it.
Yeah. That's a team I look at in the first couple of rounds. It's going to be fascinating.
Got to stay out of the box though against the Oilers. You can't if you get undisciplined and you go, then you're in trouble.
You're dead. And you throw that power play out there, clicking it like 30%. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
These power plays. They're unreal. Some of these in the league now. It's just disgusting. Well, it's going to be a fascinating storyline to follow from the local stuff with the next head coach and this offseason phase two. You bring up a great point. What is phase two?
Yeah.
We'll find out in due time. We all want to know now, but we'll find out in due time.
Yeah.
Boosh, you're doing great work on all the gigs you're doing, man. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. We love talking to you. And we'll get after it again here in the offseason as well. But enjoy the playoffs as you go through the trials and tribulations with TNT.
All right, Jason. Thanks. And all the best to you and your treatment. And you look great. And hopefully you get on the other side of this thing. And it's one hell of a story to tell your kids.
Nah, no doubt. You tell me I look great more than my wife does. So I appreciate that.
You look beautiful. How about that?
There he is. One of my favorite guys to talk to. It's one of the reasons why, with being sick, I hate it. Not being at the rink, at the games, to have dinner and to talk about the sport and other stuff too, with the one and only Brian Boucher. I appreciate him taking the time while he's on the road for the NHL and TNT. He does a great job, and we'll continue to watch, even beyond the Flyer season, into the postseason with Boosh going all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals again. So thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you guys for joining me and us. Make sure you smash the like button, hit the notification bell, subscribe. That way you'll continue to receive the content here on the Flyers YouTube channel. And do the same if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, Stitcher, whatever it is, to just the audio version. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. We would love that as well. Everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back Monday. Monday's with Meltzer. Join us then on a brand new Flyers Daily.